Mark chapter number 1, starting in verse 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Mark chapter number 1 and verse 14. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Mark starts a little bit different. There's no lineage. We jump right into the ministry of Christ. So as we're in just about 14 verses into the first chapter of Mark, Christ is already 30 years of age, all right? So just so you understand the setting of what's going on, we're not gonna wander into a stable here. We're not going to see the shepherds coming and the kings from the east. No, we're going to be looking at the ministry of Christ. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. God, thank you for it being finished on the cross. Lord, just thinking about that. And God, Lord, I don't have to do anything for my salvation. Just simply believe in you. Amen. Lord, thank you for reminding us of that great truth. Thank you for your word here. God, I pray you'd help us to see ourselves in the passage and be able to take these principles and apply them to our life daily here today, that we would have a deeper understanding of who you are and, God, what you desire to do with us. God, again, thank you for these that are here. And, God, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified. God, Lord, I beg of you for your power now. God, I pray that you'd just be all over this message. And, God, that you'd prevent me from saying things I ought not to and give me wisdom in saying things that maybe aren't written down. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter number 1, again, we are talking of the ministry of Christ. And as he is walking throughout the Holy Land through Israel, he stops by the Sea of Galilee. If you've ever gone to Israel, certainly a place that you would have stopped to go see at some point. And he sees Simon and Andrew. And what are they doing? They're doing what they do. They're working. They're fishing. Now, you and I don't think anyone in this room, that is their occupation. If you fish, it is probably by leisure or just pure enjoyment of the outside or so. And say, "I'm not a hunter, but I do enjoy fishing." All right, well, praise the Lord. And that's what we find here. Christ walking by and finding two guys in a boat fishing. It wouldn't be a strange scene if you were to drive up to the lake today and drive down and go down the parkway there, maybe all the way to Ontario Beach there, and you walk out onto the pier, and pretty good chances you'll see a boat out there and people in lines in, and what are they doing? They're fishing. That's what Christ saw that day, and he saw two people, Simon and Andrew, his brother. I want to ask you a question here today. What's a disciple? You know, we can ask ourselves a series of questions, and maybe in our minds we understand the degree of these questions. If I asked you the question, do you know for sure that you'll be in heaven one day? Do you know for sure? You know, we're going to, praise the Lord, Josh wants to get baptized tonight. Say, does baptism get them into heaven? No, not at all. It just gets them wet. But it is just showing everybody of a decision that he made inside his heart. He put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ to forgive him of his sin. That's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And that's what's going to be pictured tonight. The death and hopefully the resurrection, Josh, right? That's what we want. I want to bring you out of the water. Josh, how tall are you? Very similar. We are often confused for brothers. But my death, burial, and resurrection, hey, that's what happened to us spiritually, right? Old man died in the grave along with all my sins. That's what they were singing about. And I know for sure that heaven will be my home someday. Say, why? Because you're a good person? No. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Listen to these words. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. I don't know what the weather's going to be tomorrow. There's a good chance of snow tomorrow. I don't know. Say, in Rochester, absolutely. Paul and Janae are like, absolutely not. No way we're getting married in the snow in August. There's a lot of things I don't know, but I can tell you this. I know that I have eternal life. That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, because I did that. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So if I ask you the question, do you know for sure that you'll be in heaven? That's a question only you can answer. Question number two, are you a Christian? Say that's the same as question number one. Well, let's examine it a little bit. What is a Christian? Christian means, by definition, Christ-like. So am I doing things in my life that are similar to how Christ lived? Say, what is that? What does that look like? Am I a demonstration of Christ's character? No, not perfection, but do I show forth His grace and mercy? Can people see the love of Christ through me? That's what a Christian is. Someone that looks like Christ. Now, not in appearance, but in action. Are you a Christian today? Is your actions, are you a beacon for grace, mercy, and the love of God? And then we come back to our original question. Are you a disciple? So what's a disciple? Isn't that the, aren't all of these things the same? I'm on my way to heaven. I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. It's all the same. Or is it? What is a disciple? A disciple is someone that would allow their faith, listen now, to cost them something. Hey, do you understand to follow the Lord Jesus Christ at some point, you're going to have to take up a cross and follow Him. Now, not a literal cross, but there is a cost associated with following Christ. And that's what we have here in this passage. Christ comes by to Andrew and Simon, and He says, would you please come follow me? He doesn't use the word please, but maybe it's inferred. And as He walked by the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway, now look at, they forsook their nets and followed Him. They humbled themselves and willing to leave that life behind and go follow the Lord. It was kind of funny. I'm not sure if we should be recording this. I don't even know if people watch online anyways. But I know we have a few. But I was down at the creek this week, and we live right by Sandy Creek, and Hudson and I had some extra time together. Sarah and Abby and Sophie and Joe were away, and they were in Indianapolis, and so Hud and I were kind of buddies, and I said, Hud, what do you want to do this week? He says, Dad, let's go fishing. I said, okay, because I know fishing starts early, you know. But there's another end of fishing, and that's dusk. I'm usually up at dusk, not dawn. So I said, how about tonight, around 7 o'clock, we go down by the creek. And so we went down by the creek, and there we weren't the only ones down there. There was a gentleman down there and another guy, and he's like, hey, can you help me with something? I said, well, what? He goes, do you know if you're allowed to use drag nets here? I said, I don't think so, right? Sean, no, we're not allowed to. Those are illegal. He goes, I'll use it. I just need someone to help string it across. I said, I don't think you're allowed to do that. It's a way of fishing I think is very maybe profitable, and that's kind of what we had Simon and Andrew doing. Say, what happened with your story? The guy got in his car and left. I don't know where he went. But that's how Simon and Andrew were fishing. They had a net. You know what they did? They left their net. You know what they left that day? Their security. Their experience. Their knowledge. Have they ever followed the Lord Jesus Christ before? No. Could they look in a book or search online? What does it mean to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? They had no idea, but it was going to take faith. So there that day, these two leave their nets to go become fishers of men. The Bible says in verse 19, and when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, two more, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Same invitation. We have Simon and Andrew. They leave their stuff. Now we see James and John. They leave Dad alone in the boat. What does it look like to be a disciple? Oh, I think we're starting to see a little bit. Hey, are you on your way to heaven? I hope the answer is yes. Are you a Christian? Say, what does that mean? Can people see Christ in you? And then our question for today, are you a disciple? Say, what does that mean? Are you willing to allow Christianity to cost you something? Are you willing to forsake? Are you willing to forsake all to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Here it says this, fishers of men. It was a direct invitation. It was a direct invitation to these four men to leave what they were and follow the Lord. The Bible says that they would have to forsake all. That's tough. Go to Luke chapter number 5. It's interesting when you study the scriptures, there's a lot of people following the Lord. He's doing miracles, and John, we see that. And eventually, though, it gets to a place where Christ now, in his teaching, says, all right, it is now time for you to start making some decisions for me. And all of a sudden, the followers departed. Why? Because everyone's good for a free meal. But then when it's going to cost me something. Here we see a direct invitation to these men to leave what they were, to follow after the Lord, to forsake all. Look at Luke chapter number 5. Look at verse 10. And so all was also, this is the same story, just in a different book, Luke 5:10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, look at this, they forsook all and followed him. You draw the line in the sand and say, God, I'll follow you up to this point. But once it costs me, I'm out. Then you are not a disciple. Oh, you'll still go to heaven. But you cannot be a fisher of men. Here, the one to teach us how to fish is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about physical fish anymore. Fishers of men. Say, what does that mean? To taking the teachings of Christ and bringing that to somebody else. Christ is the teacher of how to do that. Maybe one day when you were younger, your dad or mom or somebody else took you to the seashore and taught you how to cast, taught you how to bait a hook, taught you how to tie a knot, taught you how to get a lure out of weeds and all that stuff. Taught you what to look for. Taught you how to be quiet when fishing. Taught you what time to go. Taught you what to... Jesus taught us how to be fishers of men. There he goes and he meets a Samaritan woman at the well and he talks to her. And it goes from this woman that has these racially charged thoughts towards this man. By the end, she goes and tells her entire friend, family, and city that I have found the Messiah. What happened? He teaches us how to be fishers of men, caring about the souls of men. Look at Luke chapter number 14. For us to be a disciple, we have to be teachable. If Simon and Andrew and James and John are following the Lord, look, Jesus, no, that's not how you do it. No, you're not teaching Jesus. Jesus is teaching you. You're the disciple. And sometimes in our life, I think we sometimes get that backwards. Sometimes I think we're telling the Lord how to do things rather than us coming to God and saying, God, how do you want me to do this? We saw, again, an example of the woman at the well. We're familiar with the story of Paul. Someone that you and I would say, was a lost cause. He was actively detrimental to the body of Christ. He would go from house to house, rounding up Christians, torturing them and putting them in prison. That's a person you would pray for his absence from earth, not his conversion. And the Lord says, well, I don't do things your way. And just like Simon, Andrew, James, and John, Jesus himself comes and makes himself known to Paul. And he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? See, how Jesus fishes for people is a little bit different than maybe you and I. Ever look at somebody and go, nah, they're too scary. I'm not going to bring them the gospel. They're too low. They're too far gone. No. Jesus is the teacher of how to fish. Look at Luke chapter number 14 and verse 23. He tells us here, and the Lord said unto a servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know what the Lord desires? Fishing. Sean, fishing. Joe, fishing. But he desires to be fishers of men. He wants us to take this to those that have never heard. He wants us to partner with him and go tell other people about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a fisher of men is. A disciple. As we looked at those passages, I noticed this. Number one, it was a direct invitation. Number two, it was a partnership. When he came up on Simon, Simon wasn't the only one in the boat. There was Andrew. When he came up to James, James wasn't the only one in the boat. It was his dad's boat. Yes, there were servants, but he came to James and John by twos. I think that's interesting. And he called them both by two. Again, in Mark chapter number 1 and verse 16, he called Simon and Andrew. Mark chapter 1, verse 19, James and John. There are always at least two fishing together. Can you go fishing by yourself? Sure. Is it better to go with somebody else? Yes, it is. So why is that? Well, there's a number of reasons. Number one, the fellowship is better. The companionship is good. The encouragement. I told you, Hudson and I, we went fishing it was Wednesday night. He said, Dad, can we go fishing tomorrow morning? I said, sure. And he goes, what time do you want to get up? Oh, Chris, that is a tough question. I said, well, so at 7 o'clock in the morning, he comes barreling through my door. And he said, that's late. Well, okay, fine. I looked out and I hear behind me the pitter-patter of rain. I said, son, it's raining. And he's like, yeah? I said, we're not fishing in the rain. He goes, but yeah. I said, no. I said, we're not fishing in the rain. But you can fish in the rain. I said, I know you can, but I will not. So a little while later, he was very excited to see it stop raining. So we loaded up our stuff and we put it in the truck and we went up by where you live, Eric, and there we are, and we start casting our lines into the creek. I want you to think about this. There's me. There's Hudson. He's in his chair, just sitting there. Casting it out, just sitting there. I'm about 20 feet away from him, so our Ghostbuster style, you don't want your lines to cross, all right? And so I'm over here, he's over there. When I caught a fish, he was so excited. For me, I'm not a fisherman. Anything that bites on the line, I consider a victory, just getting a bite. I don't know what bait to use. I don't even know if I have my pole on right. Well, I caught a bass, and I was excited. Largemouth bass. Hudson went booking for the truck. He comes running over with the bucket. We fill it up with water, drop the guy in there. And he's like, "Dad, that was so great. He's so big. This is so awesome." He didn't catch the fish. I caught the fish. But he was a real encouragement. We would catch three more fish that day. Two more smallmouth bass and what I've learned, a perch. He didn't catch one. He was so excited. "Dad, catch another one." Why do you go out by two? In Mark chapter number 6 in verse 7. "And he called unto him the 12," and Mark 6, 7, and it says, "and began to send them forth by two and two." When Jesus Christ had his 12 disciples and he said, "All right, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to send six groups out, two by two, because that's how you fish." But they weren't fishing for actual fish. They were going out doing the things of God, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And there's a list of things that happened there. Why the partnership? Because there's fellowship. There's companionship. There's encouragement. And there's help if someone gets in trouble. The older the kids get, the more fishing I get to do when we go fishing. I don't know if Brother Rodell's here, but the beginning years of fishing were no fishing for me. I wouldn't even bring my stuff. It would just be tying and detangling the children's lines. "Dad, I need help." And there he is with his fishing pole up in the tree. "Dad, can you get this fish off? I don't want to touch it." And there, when we go out two by two, all of a sudden you start talking to somebody about the Lord, and maybe you get yourself in a little bit of trouble. You've said something, you've been offensive, and that person there can be an encouragement, could be prayer, could step in and start talking. Hey, if we're going to be fishers of men, number one, understand it's a direct invitation by God to you directly. Number two, find a partner. I don't think it's wise to go out alone. Say, "I'm a grown man, I can do that." I understand, but I don't think it's wise. I think the fellowship and the companionship alone is well worthwhile. And encouragement one to another. Fishers of men, direct invitation, a partnership. Number three. There's only 4 points this morning. Three, a place to fish. Fishing doesn't happen accidentally. I didn't wake up this morning and find a fish in my front seat. I would hope not. That would be kind of stinky. I don't walk by the creek, and we walk down by the canal sometimes. Never am I walking down by the canal, and all of a sudden fish just jump out of the canal onto the pathway. No. You deliberately, there's preparation. Got to get your stuff together. Luke chapter number 5. You got to find a place to fish. Maybe a lake, maybe a creek, maybe a pond. But fishing doesn't happen by accident. It takes preparation. Luke chapter number 5 in verse 1. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. They called it a day. How many of you have ever gone fishing, literal fishing, and not caught anything? Anybody? Yeah. We had such a successful first time fishing. Hudson and I went 3 more times this week. Our most successful day was the first day. We caught nothing else. And after a while, you just kind of look at each other and it's like, okay, we'll blame the fish. The fish aren't biting tonight, so we're going to go back home. And that's kind of what was happening here. They were washing their nets. And he'd entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So that was his plan. Hey, I want to use this as kind of like a pulpit box. Let's get me out into the water a little bit. I'll stand at the edge of your boat and I'll preach to the people standing on the shore. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, see if you see yourself in this passage. Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Ever tell the Lord, no, this isn't working. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and break their net. Hey, you need a place to fish. Say, I've gone out. Well, do it again. That's exactly what happened there. They were in a spot. They were fishing. Didn't catch anything. They come back in. Jesus is with them. He preaches and says, let's go back to the spot that you just were. Let's put those nets in there again. Say, we've already done that. Do it again. Hey, there's going to be times when you go out and you try and tell people about the Lord and come back with no fish. Do it again. Don't give up. Launch out into the deep. And John chapter number 21, look there. John 21, starting in verse 6. Sean, you have a boat, is that right? If you fish on the left side of the boat, is it very similar to the right side of the boat? I mean, it's the same water, right? Okay, pretty much. It's not like there's a wall underneath the water that, like, the people or the fish on the right side don't go to the left side, or the left side go to the right side. In John chapter number 21 and verse 6, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. What happened? They did what God told them to do. Cast on the other side. Hey, he tells them to launch out into the deep in that passage in Luke chapter 5. Say, well, what's your thought with this? Hey, sometimes we fish right where we're at. Sometimes we need to go out a little bit. Stretch ourselves a little bit. Maybe fish on the other side of town. How far are you willing to go fishing for people? I'm thankful for our young people that just went all the way to Indiana. Say, are there no people in Rochester or New York? Yeah, but sometimes you launch out a little bit. Go to another place. But also we should be fishing right where we're at. Right in my backyard, we got Sandy Creek. Say, well, I don't have that. Go find a place to go fish. Say, well, I live in the middle of nowhere. Or how about this? How about you go to the right side and to the left side of your own house and telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ? So I purposely live in the middle of nowhere. Well, then go somewhere where there's people. Go somewhere where there's fish. Say, I don't live near water. Then go somewhere where there is. Lastly, Matthew chapter 13. Are you a disciple? Are you willing to forsake all to be a fisher of men? Say, that sounds costly. That's exactly what it is. In Matthew chapter 13, I love this verse. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea, look at now, and gathered of every kind. And isn't that a blessing? When I look at this side and I start over here, Mrs. McDowell, and I go all the way over to here to Anna, I think we got every kind in here. We got Grandma Hartman up here, and we got young guys over here. Every kind. What happened? A net was thrown out, and all kind of fish came in. Hey, when you're fishing, you're excited about any bite. Oh, there are times by our house, people come from all over. They'll come from Ohio, Pennsylvania, just to my backyard to try and catch salmon. They'll travel from states hundreds of miles to try and catch these, to catch fish. And I know they're specifically going after salmon, but the average fisherman, he's not like, oh, no, no, we got a bite. What is it? No, I wasn't looking for that kind. No, no, of every kind. Hey, when you're out telling about the Lord Jesus Christ and you knock on someone's door and it's a older lady, oh, no, I'm sorry, never mind. I thought you were somebody else. I'm not here for you. No. Every single person needs the Lord Jesus Christ. Every kind, it says. The inclusion of all fish. Gathered of every kind. Little. Big. Young. Old. Well-to-do. Maybe not. Have you ever seen anyone come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'd like forgiveness. I'm sorry, you're not accepted here. No, never. Of every kind. Aren't you glad he accepted you? I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more strange people get. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just me. I'm walking through the mall or the store and I see people with, you know, blue hair and I'm thinking, man, what's going on? Of every kind. There's no one that should be excluded. This is a all-inclusive of every kind. Lord, help us if we look at a group of people and say, you don't belong in the net. Not at all. God is inviting you to follow him and be a fisher of men. See, that sounds like I'm going to have to give up something. You might. I think it's interesting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Those men willingly understood that, turned over the keys to the boat and said, all right, my life is different now. I'm following you. Hey, when you came to the Lord, did your life change? Hey, you got a hold of this, but it wasn't just for you. You understand that, right? It's for you to also take to others. To share the good news of the gospel to other people. Can I ask you this? When was the last time you led someone to Christ? Well, you know, Pastor, you know, times are tough. You understand that. The oppression of the devil and I understand. But I'm going to tell you this. You will catch zero fish if you don't have a line in the water. So who are you fishing for? Who are you trying to reach with the gospel? What's the name of the person? What's the lady? What's the man? What's the young person? Who is it that's on your mind? So I haven't brought anybody to Christ. Well, have you been fishing? If you don't go fishing, you'll never catch fish. you have a line in the water? Do you have a net in the sea? I know it's not legal, but it sounds pretty great to be able to cast the net out like that and catch so many. Hey, maybe you start with one line. I'm going to try and tell this person about Christ. Again, fishing takes preparation. Are you ready? Have you cast your line in the sea? Not only, how about this? Not only when was the last time you led someone to the Lord, when was the last time you told someone about the Lord? Hey, God is the one that does the increase, but it is our job to at least bring it to them. Let's all stand this morning. I'm going to ask you this question. Are you a disciple? Say, I'm content with staying on shore. I don't want any of that. I'm not in on that. Do you understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming by your way today, saying, would you come follow me? That wasn't the only question I asked. I asked if you're a Christian. Are you demonstrating Christ-like character in your life? The first question, do you know for sure that you'll be in heaven someday? Say, you can't know that. The Bible says that you may know. I don't have a lot of confidence in what's going on in this world, but I do know this. I know for sure that heaven will be my home someday. So are you a fisher of men? When was the last time you told somebody? Well, maybe it's because you don't have any lines in the sea. In a moment, the music's going to play, and maybe the Lord tugged at your heart about something. I've talked to my neighbors, but then launch a little bit further out into the deep. Cast it on the other side. Go to another place. Maybe you just need to start fishing where you're at. You think you're living where you're living by accident? No. You've been placed there as a beacon, as a light. Do your neighbors know that you're saved? Do your neighbors know about the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a fisher of men? A direct invitation to us all. Say, I'm nervous about doing that. Get a partner. Get a partner. Go out together. Heavenly Father, I ask that you bless this time of invitation now. And God, maybe you stirred in someone's heart about being a faithful witness. Not just be content to go into heaven ourselves, but to bring as many with us as possible. Lord, I pray you'd help us to have the courage to put the lines in the sea and try and reach somebody for you. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?